For decades, elections in Georgia were decided by the county unit system, which worked sort of like the Electoral College, right?
Well, sort of. The county unit system was a system set up around the turn of the century when rural areas in the state increasingly felt that they were losing out to urban areas. The farmers' movement in the 1890s had stalled. The best and the brightest were leaving rural areas. The rural economy was marked by stagnation. It seemed the cities were gaining at the expense of the countryside and that the cities were also increasingly strange places. So there was a strong sort of anti-urban sentiment. And at some level, the county unit system represented the countryside striking back, trying to reassert rural domination over state politics. In 1917, an act was passed. It was called the Neal Primary Act, which said that in a statewide election, say for senator, governor, it wouldn't be the popular vote that would matter, but the what was called the county unit vote. Each county received either 2 units, 4 units, or 6 units, depending on population, with the rural county, the most rural counties 2, and the urban counties like Fulton or DeKalb being 6-unit counties. The result was that it wasn't, again, there wasn't the popular vote, but the county unit vote that counted. And a similar system was put in place in the state legislature where each county got either 3 representatives, 2 or 1 in the House of Representatives.
And there were far more rural counties in those days than there were urban counties.
There were 121 2-unit counties. There were 34-unit counties. These would be places like Floyd County, Rome, Georgia, Lowndes County, Valdosta, Georgia. And there were 8 6-unit counties, Chatham County and Savannah and Fulton and DeKalb and so forth. And it was a system already weighted heavily in favor of rural areas. Meant the politicians didn't even need to think about urban areas. Gene Talmadge famously said he never campaigned in a county that had a streetcar, meaning an urban county. And over the years, the inequities of the county unit system got even more pronounced. As first you had the boll weevil causing this exodus from the farms, and the New Deal programs similarly led people to leave the farms. And World War II had an urbanizing effect as well. So by the late 1940s into the 1950s.
You still have a law that was passed in 1917 dictating apportionment, right?
And the inequities become even greater as the population becomes increasingly urban. So, for instance, in 1960, the 3 smallest counties in the state had a grand total population of like under 7,000. Fulton County at that time had a population of nearly 600,000, yet their votes were the same. Their county unit votes counted the same. So it was a system that was deeply unequal from the beginning and increasingly so over time.
So in a statewide election, if you'd won the primary as a Democrat, which is the only primary that mattered in those days,
right,
you could essentially be elected to statewide office and not receive a majority of the popular vote.
And there were a couple of elections in 1946 where that happened. There was the gubernatorial election where Jimmy Carmichael won the most popular vote, but Eugene Talmadge carried the most county unit votes. And in the 5th Congressional District, a candidate, Helen Douglas Mencken, received the most popular vote but lost the county unit vote because they put it into that congressional district for the primary that year.
The Supreme Court decision, Baker versus Carr, was not based in Georgia, but it was a southern case, wasn't it?
It was a Tennessee case. There had been lawsuits mounted in the 40s and 50s challenging the county unit system. The courts, as a rule, were reticent to meddle into state politics in that kind of way. But in Baker versus Carr, which was a Tennessee case decided on this date, the court established the principle of, quote, one man, one vote. The following month in Georgia, there was a lawsuit, Sanders versus Gray, which challenged Georgia's malapportioned legislature in the county unit system. And there were subsequent lawsuits as well. So by 1962, you had the first popularly elected governor in a long, long time, Carl Sanders, where he was elected on the popular vote, not the county unit vote. He was also from an urban county. You had Leroy Johnson, the first black state senator, come in around that time when the legislature was ordered reapportioned. And you had the first state representatives, black state representatives, since Reconstruction coming in a couple of years later as the legislature was reapportioned. So you have finally the end of this rural domination that really had characterized Georgia for many, many years. In the 40s, Georgia was described as rule of the rustics. and you had more urban representation, and you also had more suburban representation as well. So interestingly enough, I think, you know, you can kind of see with the demise of the county unit system, just as with the demise of segregation, you see the end of one era that had characterized Georgia for over half a century and the beginning of another one on the horizon.
Still, though, the Democratic Party remained dominant for quite a while after this.
Sure. It's only really in the 1980s and 90s that the Republican Party becomes more ascendant. The Democratic Party continues to be dominant in the state for quite a long time after it.
Cliff Kuhn, thank you.
Thank you, Steve.